Proverbs 25, verse 25 says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." For His Glory Bible Baptist Church of Union, Maine welcomes you to Good News from a Far Country. Let's join Pastor Mike Key as he brings us the good news from God's Word today.
Welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. My name is Mike Key, pastor for His Glory Bible Baptist Church, Union, Maine. Great to have you on board on this Saturday morning on Life Changing Radio, 105.9 WBCI. All right, let's go straight to the book. It's Bible time this morning, and I want to preach to you a message, Neglecting So Great a Salvation. Matthew chapter 22 this morning, Matthew and chapter 22, and look with me and verse 5, and this, of course, the parable of the marriage feast, amen, and God is putting together His invitation list for a future marriage supper of the Lamb, amen. I think you and I may be involved in that in some way, amen, as I'm talking, hopefully, to saved, born-again Christians out there. That makes you the chaste virgin, that makes you the bride, amen, to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ here. And look with me in verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Amen. God's the wedding planner, if you will, and He's planning a marriage for His son, "and sent forth His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, He sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city." Father, we love you, Lord. Father, I pray, Father, you get in this thing this morning, help your saints, help your people, Father, this morning. Do what I cannot do, and that's help them this morning. Give them understanding as we sit at the feet of Jesus Christ this morning, glean from the perfect words of His King James Bible. Father, get something this morning out of this. We'll thank you in advance again for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, here's the marriage feast going on, and Jesus is speaking in parables after the Pharisees and the Sadducees committed the unpardonable sin, and they rejected them, and they rejected truth, as I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Light rejected becomes lightning, and God's now speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and He'll speak to them in parables because He knows it'll screw with them, it'll mess it up, amen, and they'll end up being dogs chasing their tail on the living room rug during Thanksgiving dinner, amen. Fun to watch with the fire going, amen. And so here He's preaching to them here and about this marriage. And listen, the church is not mentioned here, of course, because it was a mystery, according to Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. And Matthew is a distinctly Old Testament book. It's a Jewish book. Of course, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, so there could not be a New Testament without the death of the testator, Hebrews chapter 9 and all that. And that's why the church is not mentioned here. And Matthew's presenting Jesus Christ as King of the Jews. But now, but nonetheless, God is putting together the invitation list for the blessed event. Amen. And verse 7, look at this now. Verse 7 is the result of verse 5. Verse 7 says, "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." Verse 7 is the result of verse 5, "But they made light of it." They made light of it. This was literally fulfilled in AD 70 by Titus and his armies as Rome came in there and raked Jerusalem and raked that temple, Herod's temple, right to the ground there. But I want to preach to you a message of neglecting so great a salvation. Verse 5 says, "But they made light of it." The Bible is full of examples of men and women who made light of truth in the Bible. Amen. Sarah and Moses made light of the words of God. Hezekiah made light of the amazing gift of 15 years that God added to Hezekiah's life, and he made light of it, and he turned it to lasciviousness, and those 15 years ended up being a waste. I remember my dear friend Jimmy Hood, a great preacher, dying, and the whole church was begging God to give him 15 more years, because he'd have done more with those 15 years added to his life than Hezekiah ever did. Amen. How about Simon? He made light of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus or minus nothing. He did it all for money in Acts chapter 8. Amen. God curses children in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16, who made light of their parents' authority. Any youth listening to me this morning, you better not make light of the authority that God has given your parents over you, and the command for you to honor your mother and your father this morning. Amen. Sinners today make light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy, look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32, those Jews, Israel, took lightly their Messiah, which led to his death. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. That's how that Jew treated the Messiah when the Messiah came on the scene there in the four Gospels. In 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says that King Ahab made light of the fact that he married the most wicked woman that's probably ever walked the face of this earth, that wicked Jezebel. Amen. Ezekiah chapter 8 and verse 17 says that Judah was destroyed because a light thing was committed when they committed abominations and they worshiped idols, and they made light of the whole thing because they did not fear God. Then there's us. What are some things this morning that we are in danger of taking lightly, or maybe are already taking lightly this morning? What are some of those things this morning, Christian, that I'd like to call your attention to, that you and I stand a chance, God forbid, of taking lightly? The first one, and if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, for any amount of years now on the radio, you ought to know what the first one is: the book. The book. The Christian takes the book lightly today. Oh, the Christian will read books about the book. They'll watch movies about the book. They'll read materials about the book. But getting them to read the book, to take the book seriously, is another story. That blessed old book that we hold in our hand, that book that men quoted with their dying breath, the only thing that's from heaven that currently resides on planet Earth, the Bible, forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 36, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. Amen. Psalm 119 verse 89, I just quoted, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Look at Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 11. Look how beautiful this verse is here this morning. Psalm 119 verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. I want you to think about that. David here took those testimonies, those commands, the word of God, the words of God, and he made them his heritage. Amen. Listen, that King James Bible to me is my heritage. Amen. I treat it that way. Amen. Forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that Christians make a light of the word of God. Do you realize that the word of God, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of those scriptures, that one day, if you're saved and you're listening to me, you are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you are going to give an account, and Jesus Christ is going to judge you out of the words out of that book, and some of you have not even read it once. You've made light of it. Some of you have not even searched the matter out to realize that there's a war, there's a battle going on for the Word of God, because man has taken it lightly. Man is trying to change the words of God to become God. Amen. And there's some 300 perversions out there, but God is not the author of confusion. God does not speak in tongues, amen, with regards to that. And there can only be one, and you ought to pray and beg God to find out which one it is. Now, I found out years ago, and I'm thoroughly convinced in my mind, according to Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, that it is none other than the monarch of the books, the King James Bible. It does not only contain the Word of God, it is the very words, small w, words of God. Capital W is reserved for deity. That's Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the words of God. Luther in 1521, right? Here we are. We're in October, and here's October 31st, the 500th anniversary of Luther setting the world on fire, turning Roman Catholicism on its head, amen, and nailing that 95 thesis to that door at Wittenberg in Wittenberg, Germany. And Luther in 1521, at the assembly of the Diet of Worms, amen, that's what diet means, assembly, in front of Emperor Charles V, under the authority of Pope Leo X, was being forced to recant his justification by faith in all his writings. He said this: "My conscience is captive to the Word of God." He said, listen, he shows up there, and Emperor Charles V is there, and all of Luther's writings, all of his books, everything God showed him, the light that God had given him with regards to justification by faith, is on a table, and he is being demanded by that wicked Pope Leo X and the surrogate Charles V here to recant of all that. And Luther is standing with his hand on the table on his books, and he says, "Herein I stand." That's how much Luther felt about the Word of God. He didn't take the Word of God or the words of God lightly. He called the Pope his hellishness. That was the official title that Luther gave to that wicked as hell Pope. Amen. How about Tyndale in 1536, on October the 6th, after officials took their seats, Tyndale was brought to the cross in the middle of town. A rope and a chain was put around his neck. He had been betrayed by his quote-unquote friend, Henry Phillips, in 1535, and a chain was put around his neck, and gunpowder was put to the logs and brush around his body. And with all that going on, amen, Tyndale yells out, he cries out, "Save me." No, he doesn't. He cries out, "Help me." No, he doesn't. He cries out, "Lord, spare me." No, he doesn't. He quotes that book with his dying breath, and he quotes this. He says, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And then he was strangled, he was burned, and mercifully strangled before the gunpowder went off. And in 1603, God answered his prayer, and the King of England's eyes were opened, and the King James Bible was begun in 1604 and completed in 1611. This blessed old book that they hold in their hand. "It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When this world gets so dark I can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure's made a change in me. What I think, what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd gone to the stake and quoted it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I have found to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, There's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Listen, that's that blessed old book. And Christians today, they're making light of that thing, amen. When's the last time you read it? Amen. When's the last time you read it and remembered what you read? When's the last time you got convicted from reading that Bible? Amen. When's the last time God showed you something from that book? You're making light of that thing this morning. Christians, stand in judgment of making light of that book. The second thing that you and I make light of this morning is our testimony. Amen. Our testimony. You realize this morning that the only Bible this wicked as hell world may ever read is when they read you. Amen. You're a walking epistle, I hope. Too many people take lightly their testimony. Years and years and years to build up a testimony with your family, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with people in this world. Amen. And you build up this testimony, and too many Christians take it lightly. And those years it took to build that testimony, seconds for it to come crashing down. Let me tell you something about your testimony. If the world likes you, then you're like the world. If the world likes you, then you're like the world, and your testimony's garbage this morning, amen? Listen, if you're going to walk for Jesus Christ and take a stand for him and separate yourself from this wicked hell world, you got to be crazy if you think the world's going to be on board with that. But let me tell you a little secret. It's convicting them. They're watching you. Yeah, they're watching you to crash and burn. I understand that. Yeah, they're watching you to stub your toe so they can tell you, I told you so, so they can call you a hypocrite, so they can collect on some wicked bet that they have with other people. Yeah, I understand that. Well, let me tell you something. Some of them out there are truly convicted by what you're doing, and they're never going to let you know it. How are you known to this world? Our testimony should be protected just like a boy or a girl's purity ought to be checked. Just like you would try to protect your little boy and your little girl, just like certain things that you would try to protect in this life, you ought to protect your testimony. You ought to put a hedge of protection about that thing, and you ought to be a fierce protector of your testimony this morning. But sadly today, too many Christians making light of it, The third thing we make light of, our salvation. Okay, you got saved. You checked it off. It was just another thing you did in your life. You got saved. Just like your graduation, or when you got your driver's license, or when you got married, or when you had your first kid, or you bought your first house, or you graduated college, or you got the job, or whatever. It was just something you did in your life, and you checked it off. You ever think about what Jesus did for you? You ever spend time at Calvary? Amen? You ever spend time at Calvary? You know, it's good to go back every once in a while. Amen? It's good to remember where you came from. It's good to remember how lost you were, and without Jesus Christ, had you died, you'd have gone to hell. I'll tell you what, it'll make it brand new. It'll renew it to you. It'll renew it to you this morning. Some of you, it's been a long time since you thought about your salvation. It's been a long time since some of you thought what Jesus Christ delivered you from. It's been a long time. I shudder sometimes, and I think of the several distinct times in my mind that I should have died or almost died or could have died. Real died. And I was without Christ, lost and undone in this world. Had I died, I'd have split hell wide open. I go back and I visit Calvary. And I remember what Jesus Christ did for me. Helps me to renew some commitments, amen? Gets me reinvigorated. Gets me back in the fight sometimes. Gets my compass squared away where it ought to be, north. You know what easy believerism, the sin of easy believerism today, is it makes light of the gospel. It's gospel light. It's easy believerism. There's no hell preached. There's no judgment preached. Amen. It's just believe on this Jesus, and you can have eternity, and you can have a harp, and you can have a home, and you can have a crown, and you can have heaven, and you can have all these wonderful things. And the typical Christian today getting caught up in easy believerism makes light of their salvation because they don't really know what God delivered them from. And most of them go on to be worldly, carnal Christians today because they make light of their salvation. Some today make light of hell. Some make light of hell today. It's a joke today. You can find it in the comic strips. It's joked about on TV. Shows are made about hell, making light of it. It's just a joke. You're out on the street and you give somebody a tract or you preach to them about hell and they don't go there. You don't have to go there. Don't go to hell. And I say, but it's where I want to go. It's where the party is. It's where my friends are. The greatest rock and roll band in the world is assembling right now waiting for me. For the Christian, how seriously you take hell can be measured by how passionate you are to see souls avoid it. Let me read that again. For the Christian, how seriously you take hell can be measured by how passionate you are to see souls avoid it. It's easy for you and I to make light of it because, well, we're not going there. But the Christians made light of hell today. It's not preached from the pulpits today. Where is it? It's not found in the pulpits today. When's the last time the preacher preached on hell? When's the last time he even mentioned it? When's the last time he preached on sin and named the sin? We make light of sin, don't we? Not realizing sin is an affront to God. We make light of doctrine today. Forget the emerging church. Forget the neo-evangelical churches today. Forget the new age touchy-feely garbage that's out there. What about you? Doctrine is God's position. It's God's position on everything. It's his stance on everything. That is this creation and your involvement in it. It's important to God, and therefore, by default, it ought to be important to you. But doctrine isn't that important to people anymore. It's not preached in the churches anymore. Churches aren't taking a stand on doctrine anymore. You know what doctrine is? Doctrine is truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, this is Paul, and he's saying, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Amen? Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Sound doctrine stems from the study of the sound words of God with a sound mind. But sadly, you can't get Christians to study today. And with all the false doctrine and every wind blowing about there, it's hard to find a sound-minded Christian today. How about you this morning? You taking some things lightly in your life? I just went over some things. The book, our testimony, salvation, hell, doctrine, and sin. These are some things that you and I, Christian, better avoid taking lightly in this wicked world. Now, Lord bless you. Might you be a blessing to him.
Good News from a Far Country is part of the Bible Outreach Ministry of For His Glory Bible Baptist Church of Union, Maine. For more information on service times and directions, go online to forhisglorybiblebaptistchurch.com or call 701-1962.